What's up, Radford? Welcome to another edition of Radcentric, where all the cool kids hang out. Today, we have with us Radford Magician and just badass at large, Ryan Wade.
Thank you
very much. That was an awesome title, badass at large. I think that might be better than Ryan Don't Do What I Would Do, Wade, so I might have to keep that up.
Good. So, Ryan, you are a magician.
Yes, I am a magician. Well, by definition, no, I'm not a magician.
Okay.
I do not do magic. I am an illusionist.
Oh, I like it.
I perform illusions.
Now,
so,
what are your illusions that you perform?
I mean, you know, it's something as simple as making a card seem to disappear and reappear to fairly complex sleight of hand tricks
right.
with a deck of cards. I specialize with cards. I can do some rope magic, but I stick to mostly cards.
Are card tricks your favorite to do, or do you want to
Absolutely.
Learn how to do?
I mean, I would like to learn how to do some of the grander kind of scale tricks, but I actually have to have the equipment.
Of course.
And a shop that I can use as I wish, you know, and build my own boxes and stuff like that.
Right.
But that's down the road.
Very cool, very cool.
And do you plan to have that one day?
I mean, I plan to figure it all out slowly but surely and get it to a point where I can perform tricks like that. Like, you know, cutting someone in half or one of my favorites that I would love to do is called metamorphosis.
What's that?
It's where, you know, stereotypical, you've got the magician and the magician's lovely assistant. And you put the lovely assistant, you can either tie her hands or handcuff them or zip tie, whatever. Then you put her into a bag, and then you put that bag into a box. And then the magician stands on the box, and you either drop a white sheet, or you shoot flames up, or you do something that obstructs the audience view for 2.5 to 3 seconds. And in that time period, the magician has switched places with the girl in the box. So once the sheet is fully dropped, the girl is standing on top of the box.
That would be a really cool illusion.
The magician is in the box, handcuffed, and in the bag, in the box.
In 3 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
It's a lot easier than it sounds, but I cannot reveal that trick.
No, of course not. Google it if you're really interested.
It took me forever to like find out how to do that trick. It is not as simple as just Googling it.
What's the grand goal that you're trying to do here? Would you actually want to perform magic on a stage for people as a profession? Or?
I wouldn't say as a profession. It's definitely more of a hobby of mine. And I do, even though, you know, I just said I would like to do those larger, grand scale tricks, my personal favorite is just street magic. Just
yes.
walking up to an unsuspecting group of people and just asking them as simply as, hey, you guys want to see a magic trick or two? And that right there, just the looks on people's faces, because you always get a group of people, at least two or three of them are like, okay, magic tricks, let's see what you got, like waste our time, please, thank you. And then I just do one quick trick and they're like, what?
The other day, there was we were with you and you had a group of 4 people.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes you had 15.
You drew a crowd, which was quite unbelievable.
It happens. If you're in a crowded area and you start doing stuff like that, people are going to start crowding around.
Now, have you ever done a trick in front of a crowd of people and it just did not work?
Yes.
And what happened? What's that like?
I mean, I've done... I probably have, with cards, a good 20 to 25 tricks up my sleeve at any given moment. But I stick to a core, like, 8. Because
yes.
I really like those. I'm really comfortable with them. And when you mess them up, it's gotten to the point now where no matter where I mess them up, I can somehow work it to be part of the trick or just kind of laugh it off and do something else.
Right.
There was one time, though, where I just completely screwed up. There was no way to...
What was the illusion supposed to be?
It's one of my favorite tricks. You take a deck and you let someone draw a card. And they put it back into the deck. You snap your fingers and you spread the deck out. And let's say we started with a red deck. There's now suddenly a blue card in the middle of the deck.
Okay.
So you flip the blue card and it's their card.
Okay.
Right? And then you give it to them. You put it in their hand. You do it to someone else. You let them choose a card. put it back, you do the same thing, but there's no color change. And so then the person with the card in their hand is now holding the blue card that is actually the second person's card.
Oh, nice.
It's a real mind fuck. Sorry if I'm not allowed to...
That's fine. That.
Real mind screw. But there was this one time where I had too many of the colored cards in the deck.
So I kept
trying to do it. Because I had this idea, it would be kind of cool. This was before I went up to perform it. What if I did, like, four people, where I changed their cards, and then all of a sudden, it was, the cards in their hands were actually the cards of these people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Something like that. So I did that, but I got up on stage, and I was like, oh, no. Because I realized, you know, and at that point, you can't, like, oh, let me fix this deck real quick.
Right.
So I just went with it. I was like, whatever. There ended up being like 8 or 9 blue cards. So I just kept going, all right, how about you draw a card? All right, let's spread it out. Waiting for there to be no blue cards in the deck. And it was awful.
So going back to what you were saying before about like the really like elaborate tricks or even the smaller tricks, where do you go to learn them? Like you personally.
My first trick I learned... actually from a magician that went came to my high school, and he was from the area, and he taught me this trick, and he said he was going to be back at our high school in a couple of weeks because he was doing some kind of a workshop, not magic related, but something else related, and he said if I could bring this trick back and perform it for him, he would teach me another. So it went on like that for a couple of months, and that's where I learned probably my first 3 to 4 tricks. And then after that, he gave me a book that I learned a good 10 or 15 out of. I don't know if I still have it here. It's definitely at home if it's not here.
Right.
But there's still a good 40 tricks in there that I could learn at any given point. I just haven't gotten bored enough with the ones that I'm doing to go and learn more.
When you start actually using these tricks, do you try to put your own spin on it?
Definitely. Every trick, like, you can end a trick 30 different ways. And so once you start learning your basic sleights of hand, you can kind of mix and match them to create your own illusions.
Nice.
Yeah. So I do a trick that's called a 4-card Monty. Hundreds of magicians do the 4-card Monty, but I end it a little bit differently than anyone else I've ever seen. And each one that I've seen does it a little bit differently.
And also for our listeners, we are going to put up some footage of Ryan's magic. Hopefully get some great street reactions.
Yeah, hopefully so. Unsuspecting folks at the Bondi tomorrow, beware.
Exactly. So how long have you said was a high school when you actually started?
Yeah, so it was senior year, so it's probably been about 5 years now, almost 6.
For 5 years, you have some very amazing sleight of hand.
Honestly, and I'm not trying to discredit myself or any magicians out there, because it is a difficult craft, so to speak. But once you get the trick of the illusion, it's very simple.
At that point, it's
practice. Honestly, if someone comes to me and is like, teach me how to do magic, I'll teach them a few tricks, especially if it's like at a party or something. They're never going to remember.
Right.
Because, like, no, I'm serious. You have to be really comfortable with cards in your hand and then really pay attention and focus while you're learning the trick and sit there and do it slowly for, like, an hour or 2 hours, and then you start to get comfortable with it, and then you can pick it up. At this point, like, I can learn a new trick, and as long as it's not too difficult, I can probably have it ready to go in like 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Nice. What would, if for our listeners out there that are intrigued and looking to do some of their own, what would be the best piece of advice you would give to someone who's just starting out and trying to do magic?
Never be without a deck. No matter where you are, play with a deck. Like, I mean, I worked as a server for quite a while.
Right.
And before I was even really doing magic tricks, I like to play cards a lot. So on my breaks and stuff, I would play solitaire, or I would play, like, I would just shuffle a deck. Just get used to the feeling of a full deck of cards, or not even a full deck, like, just cards in your hands. And get used to manipulating with your fingers and that the feeling of them. I can pick up a deck now just because I've been playing with them for so long and tell you, oh, it's not a full deck. There's probably I use this. Magic cards are a bit different because they're thicker. But in this,
just for clarity's sake on the podcast, he's holding a deck of magic cards. Yeah,
literal Magic Gathering.
But I would guess there's probably maybe 46 to 48 cards in here.
If I may.
Yeah, go for it.
what was that number again? 46?
46 to 48 is what I said. I mean, I could be wrong. Like I said, magic cards are thicker. But with a normal deck, I can pick up and tell you instantly whether it's a full deck, whether it's not, and, you know what I mean? Like, how many cards? What is it?
47.
Oh!
47.
That's a magic trick right there.
That's pretty good.
We found the only magic trick you can do over the radio.
So, that's honestly the best advice I can give, is just always have a deck of cards and always play with them.
I like it. Do you have any idols that you just would love to be, or do you watch Magic a lot?
I mean, I watch Magic. I love Penn and Teller. Classic. But that's because I love the comedy bit of their act.
Very funny.
I think comedy Magic is absolutely hilarious. And that's why I love, like Greer will oftentimes be there whenever I'm performing Magic. And he'll always say something to the effect of, you know, if it's a new crowd of people, he'll go, "Watch your wallets, folks. You know, watch your stuff." He's been known to be a little shady.
He's like, kind of your wingman.
In a little bit, yeah. And there are a couple tricks that I have where I have to have a second person.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. And that's one thing that kind of makes me laugh when I watch, like, Chris Angel or stuff like that. There's no magic trick that he performs. Except for, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're all brilliant sleight-of-hand magicians.
Right.
But a lot of the stuff that you see on TV is, like, camera tricks or false audiences. There are people involved in the trick that you don't know are involved. And yet when people sit there and watch this, the large majority of them think, "Oh my God, he's doing this all by himself. I don't get it." But if you start to put into your mind that there's probably someone over there that's got, you know, some special part of the trick. There's probably someone here, like, it starts to make sense and fall into place.
Well, now that you know how to do tricks, sorry, Zach.
No, go ahead.
Now that you know how to do tricks, does it ever actually ruin the appreciation of magic, or do you like it more?
I kind of like it more, because the tricks that I can pick up on some tricks, like, you know what I mean? I can be watching a magician. I think we had one at the Bonnie last semester at one point, and I popped in, was able to catch a couple of his tricks. And, like, I can pick up and I can kind of see, like, where he's shuffling, where the sleight is happening. I wouldn't necessarily be able to go, "This is exactly what you're doing," and replicate it unless I knew the trick. But I can usually catch on to it to a certain degree.
You can see the technique.
Yeah. There are still magicians, though, that will absolutely blow my mind. And I think that's amazing. But I guess also with ruining it for yourself, since there are some tricks that I do a lot, there's sounds that are associated with them. Like there's a trick that I could do. Essentially, I would, you know, talk the trick up and blah blah blah, and it sounds a little something like this. It's the deck going like that, and then when I do the actual sleight, see if you guys can hear this. Do you hear that slide?
Yeah.
That's where the actual sleight of hand is, and that's where the trick happens. But no one ever hears that. I hear it every time, and I, like, cringe. I'm like, oh God. They're going to catch hell. They have no idea. It's like when you're playing music, and unless you, like, miss a note and you do a note that's off key or something like that, unless that happens, the audience is never going to know that, oh, that was the wrong note.
Yeah.
If you play the right note that's, or a wrong note that is still harmonious with the rest of what's going on, doesn't matter.
Wow. I actually thought of the listening side of magic.
Yeah, cards make a lot of noise. So, like, you start to pick up on it after a while. I'm a dork, what can I say?
No, go back to a thing you were saying earlier about, like, how Chris Angel has, like, plants and all that. So is the lovely assistant kind of a necessary part of a stage magician's act?
I mean, I would say yes, to a degree, because there are tricks that even I have that I can, with the help of Greer or a good friend or something like that, just pick up a random deck at some person's house, slip them a card really easily, and go along with this trick and blow people's minds and make it look like like he's some person I've never met, right. And you know what I mean? He's just part of the crowd. And people will never second guess it unless you do the trick again and the people follow you, which has happened to me before. I was doing tricks in Barnes & Noble because I got hired by Barnes & Noble to walk around and do magic tricks for this fair that they were doing.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been hired by some random places. But I was doing magic tricks in their aisles while they were doing this fair. And we did the trick. And Greer, the way we had it, Greer would be walking through some aisles and he would pick an aisle where there was a good amount of people. So then I'd be walking around and I'd see that aisle and I'd walk into it and be like, hey, you guys want to see some magic tricks? And Greer would be there with the folks. Oh, yeah, this sounds great. You know what I mean? And I'd do the trick. Well, these girls saw it. They were probably like 17 years old, something like that. And they followed me.
Oh, no. Well,
yeah, so they followed me. I wasn't paying attention. I'm doing my gig. You know what I mean? So I start to do this trick again. And he's there. And they're like, wait a minute. And then they're like, it's a trick, blah, 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 like freaking out. Funniest part of the story, though, I was like, all right, well, you know, since you've caught on to me on this trick, let me show you something else and blow your mind. And their dad was standing there, I guess, and he goes, Jennifer, let the boys play with their cards. Leave them alone. I was like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not putting a devil spell on your daughter or something.
That's the best thing anyone's ever said at a magic
right?
show.
Let the boys play with their cards.
What a patriarchal society we live in, right? Right. The boys go play poker. God.
Oh,
but
so
I actually, there was one time I was at a house doing magic tricks. I've gotten hired by some frats and sororities and stuff to do magic at their mixers, which is really fun. And they pay you in free beer. And
well, of course.
Oftentimes money as well. But I was doing a trick at this. It wasn't a gig like that. I busted out a deck and I'm doing a trick. And these girls started yelling at me to get out of their house because I was the devil. And it's because I pulled off. I can do David Blaine's levitation.
Okay,
it's very simple. I mean, I don't want to reveal the trick, but it's really easy. And
okay.
It depends on the angle that you're standing so that they catch the correct view, right? So I've done a bunch of magic tricks, and I was like, I was really building it up. Because I could tell they were like, what is going on? Like, freaked out. And I was like, look, I don't pull this one out very much. It takes a lot out of me. So I'm gonna stand right here. And look, if I fall, catch me, okay? And I did the whole, like, I kind of got low to the ground. And then I came up with my arms outspread like this. And it looked like I was floating off the ground.
That is awesome.
And they just started screaming, calling me El Diablo. And telling me to get out of the house.
That is the reaction you want to get.
It was sad because, like, I wasn't done partying, but it was cool because
that's a story I'll be able to tell forever.
I'll take being called the devil once or twice.
If you pulled that trick like 40 years ago, they would have burned you at the stake.
I know.
I like how they chose El Diablo. Not just Satan, no.
El Diablo.
Diablo.
It was pretty good.
Now, what's the difference between, I'm assuming that's probably going to be it, but what's the difference between performing for complete sober people and people who've been drinking a little bit?
Oh, well, I mean, drinking, when people have been drinking, you gotta keep your tricks. I can't do my complex tricks.
Right.
They don't have the attention span for it. Or they'll forget their card. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then you do this trick, and they're just like, what? Right? So I keep it to the really short, flashy, like, is this your card? Yeah. Where'd it go? What? Like, you know, it's really flashy, and you can't, like, miss it unless you blink or something. You know what I mean? But yeah, drunk people are definitely really fun to do magic tricks for if they're, like, happy drunk and excited.
Drunk enough to pay attention.
And be, like, absolutely just mind blown.
Right.
But not drunk enough to just be, like, you know what I mean? Like, just losing their shit
now,
everywhere.
Have you ever been heckled while performing?
Absolutely.
And what's that like?
That's the curse of, like, all magicians.
That happens
all
quite often. And it's surprising, actually, how often it happens in groups of people.
Really?
Like, yeah. If I used to, the summer that I went back home in between freshman and sophomore year of college, I would go down to the ocean front because I'm from Virginia Beach. and I would do magic tricks for people there on the boardwalk, and I could make like $60 a day. Like, oh, wow. Go out, do a couple hours of magic tricks, go get some lunch, go surf for like an hour or two, come back in, do some more magic tricks, and then leave. And I'd get home with $60-$70. Like, it was awesome. But you'd always have people that, and you can tell right when you start doing magic tricks for them. It's that group of people, like I said earlier, you say, hey, you guys want to see a set of magic tricks? And part of the group is like, yeah, this sounds cool. And you got those people who are like, okay, this guy's doing magic.
Let's see what he's got.
Like, you know what I mean? And what I've noticed, though, those are just the assholes. The hecklers that are the hardest to work with are the ones that don't want to follow with your trick. Because those guys, once you do one trick, you've got them. Like, yeah. And they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? But sometimes you'll be doing a trick, and, you know, some of my tricks, I'll be like, all right, take a card. They take a card, and then I'll be like, go ahead and put it on top for me. And they're like, what if I don't want to put it on top? What do you say to that? You know what right. I mean? It's like, could you please put it on top? Like, or like
they're trying on purpose to be like, ah, I'm going to show this guy.
And there are some tricks that I can still do a different trick, no matter what they do with the card. So there are ways to work around it, but people will always be trying to mess me up in ways like that. So I always have to be like really focused and paying attention. And I've actually noticed, I don't know if it's because I've been doing it for so long or whatnot. I'm 22, so I'm allowed to say this. As I get drunk, I'm still good at doing magic tricks.
So that was actually my next question.
I've practiced enough while I've been drinking with folks that I, as long as I'm not at that point where I'm stumbling all over the place,
right.
I can do magic.
I've seen your drunken magic tricks, and they're still impressive.
Yeah.
Have you ever had like a drunken magic trick fail where you thought you were sober enough and you're just like, nah.
At that point, it just kind of becomes funny. Yeah. So just amp it up. So I think I've gotten to that point once or twice. I do remember vividly one time I was trying to do a trick. I was like slurring my words. I couldn't really speak correctly. And I like can't keep my balance. And I just went, screw it. And just threw the card everywhere. And decided that I needed another beer and walked away. And people loved it. I thought it was hilarious. So
please,
I was like,
please tell me at one point you go, like, watch me make this beer disappear.
I've never done that, but I definitely think I should now.
There's nothing I trust more than a drunken magician. Kind of about these hecklers, what makes you think that... What's the difference between someone... what am I trying to say here? What makes someone... Why do you think that people hate magic or want to try to, work it so bad?
Because I can kind of understand, like, why you would heckle a stand-up comedian. You don't think he's funny. Who heckles a magician?
Yeah, who hates magic that
Although,
much?
Although, we were recently heckled while playing beer pong.
That's very true. That is not a lie.
Hecklers will find something.
Yeah, always. Like I was saying earlier, with the two different types of hecklers, I think the first group, the one that you can tell... They're just kind of mocking me as I first walk up and I ask if I can do a magic trick. They are heckling me because, and this is only a theory, but I believe that they're heckling me because they don't think that I'm actually going to be any good. Because how often do you have a person walk up to you and go, hey, can I show you some magic tricks? And it's actually something like really worthwhile.
That's true.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I've got younger siblings. I'm used to, you know, Ryan, let me show you my magic trick. And they just do something like, is this your card? Okay. I found it. You're just like, good job. Like, so I can understand where people are hesitant. You know what I mean? For like, oh, this guy's going to waste my time and show me magic tricks.
And that must be the best to show them. To
like it is. It's so much fun because then it's just like, what?
Say something.
What do you got to say now?
Dare
huh?
you.
Huh? You want me to do your kid's birthday party? Yeah, that's what I thought.
So how do you...
I work for beer.
How do you land, like, magician jobs? Do you just, like, people see your stuff and we're like, that guy?
Actually, yeah, in a way, one of my main contacts that has hired me repeatedly, I was working at Denny's, and she came in with her two kids, and I did magic tricks for them. And every school fair that their school has had, I've been hired to come and do magic tricks.
That is amazing.
Oh, every awesome. Single time. And the parents, the kids, they all just absolutely eat it up. And every time, like 2 weeks before it, I take a look through my repertoire, and I'm like, all right, which ones have I not busted out in front of them? Yeah. So that I can keep something semi-fresh. Because you're always going to have new people, but then you're always going to have old people that are like, you know, people have seen it before that you need to do something new for. So it's a lot of fun. And then I've gotten kids' birthday parties just from walking around doing tricks, and people will be like, are you available to, like, hire? And it's just as simple as, yeah, this is my favorite way to do it. If I'm going to give someone my contact information, I take one of the playing cards that I have, and I write my name and my number on the playing card.
Of course.
I think it works pretty well. But, yeah, I've gotten quite a few gigs out of just that right there.
Next time you do that, say, this is your card now.
I actually, one time, I gave a girl my number with a magic trick when I was working at Denny's. I did this trick where you show them the ace of hearts, the ace of spades, and the ace of clubs, right? And then you have the three people each pick one card. And then you take those three and you shuffle them into the deck, and you hand the first person the deck. You say, all right, you find your card. So they find their ace of spades. The next person is the ace of clubs, so they find theirs. And then the last person is the ace of hearts. So they're trying to find their card, and it's not there. And so it's wherever I've planted it, and I had, as I was bringing them their dishes, set down the card underneath this girl's plate.
That's awesome.
Because she had come to eat, like, once a week with her parents, and I'd gotten to know them because, like, I was their server every week, and I'd do magic tricks for them, and we'd sit and talk. So I gave her my number, and she started texting me. And things were going great, and then I learned she was 17. But she totally looked like 20, so...
Oh, the magic of statutory.
That must make for some great tips, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God, your service that's the best. Except for it pisses me off the most when you get someone that just, like, is a shitty tipper in general. I've had times where I was working, and I'd do magic tricks, and, like, one time specifically I remember, I had one table. Right? The place was empty, except for this one table. And so, I wasn't, like, crowding them, you know what I mean? But every 10, 15 minutes, as I'd come over to say, you know, you guys doing all right? You need anything? How about another magic trick? They'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were eating it up. So then they get up to leave, and the guy pays with a $100 bill, right? Oh, and wow. I was, and it's a gentleman and two ladies. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm getting tipped out the ass for this one. And then he walks up to the counter and he's like, hey, can I get change for this other $100 bill? And I'm like, oh, like freaking out because I'm like, oh, that's where my tip's coming from. And then my manager was like, we actually, you know, I got to go to the bank right now. We don't have the change for him. And which isn't a big deal. I mean, his meal was like 30 bucks. How are you going to spend, like, you know, more than 50 bucks at Denny's? So
yeah.
Out of the first 100, he still had like $70. What's he get? He's going to give me a $130 tip. You know what I mean? So everything was fine. It was cool. They go to leave and they go out the door. And I go over to start, you know, bussing their table. Nothing. They completely gypped
just
me.
Just stiffed you.
Just totally stiffed me and walked out. And I was like,
that guy's no Chris Angel.
I almost chased that. That was the one time I almost chased out after someone to, like, just give them a piece of my mind.
That is awful.
It's just anybody that listens to this, tip your servers.
It's bullshit. For the love of God, tip your servers. There's a special place in hell reserved.
And don't get mad at them when your food is messed up. Get mad at the cooks. Another thing to put out there. But going back to, real quick, to you asked me earlier if I had any, like, heroes.
Yes.
I said Penn and Teller. But I would have to probably say David Blaine is my top street magician. Because a lot of his tricks are very simple, sleight of hand kind of magic tricks. He's just a brilliant performer, like street performer. He doesn't do all of the, you know, the big illusions and whatnot that Chris Angel does. And I'm very biased against Chris Angel because I don't know if any of you guys remember the HBO, or I think it was HBO, it might have been AMC, I don't know. There's this miniseries called Magic Unveiled. And okay. There was a guy in a mask, and his voice was messed up.
Yeah.
That was Chris Angel.
Was it?
Yeah. He revealed a lot of his own tricks, but he revealed a lot of other people's tricks, which is just bullshit. Yeah. Like, you don't do that.
That's magician's code.
And that was on live television. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I can understand if you get drunk at a party and you're like, oh, here's the secret to this one trick. But like,
but to go out of your way, like,
and do it on television,
and make
like,
money off, yeah, exactly, exposing people,
pissed me off.
That is such a bummer. Well, to wrap things up here, is there any...
Actually, I have one more question before we wrap things up here. What was the best gig you've ever done?
Ooh, man.
There's just been so many of them.
There has been a lot of gigs, actually.
There's one that stands out in your mind.
There was one time I did get hired by Awful Arthur's over in Blacksburg because they were having band night kind of thing, but they also had a big like chill area with pool tables and stuff like that, and they wanted someone to go around and do magic tricks, and so it was a lot of fun because instead of being like at a kid's birthday party or something like that, I was around people my own age up to, you know, like 50, 60 years old, and I was able to do magic tricks for all these age groups, and that's a lot more fun to me than doing it for kids. I mean, I love performing for kids, but you know, they're kids. Like,
they can only pay attention for
so
much. Yeah,
and they can, you can only get as much, you know, a certain amount of satisfaction out of performing for children. Because blowing a kid's mind, not so hard. Blowing the mind of an intelligent adult, a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, well, we're kind of wrapping up here. Any final words, Ryan?
No, thank you guys very much.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah,
anytime.
Oh, we'll be more than happy to put up some of your tricks online to add to this article here. And if you have any gigs or any place to get hired, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
I'm not sure what else to say.
All right.
Yeah.